We're going to just very quickly look at one of the main messages of the camp. While we're doing that, I just wonder whether three of the kids could come up and just hold up the hearts. I need you to hold them up high. Brilliant. Munya, Joe, and Luke, do you want to come? You're going to have to hold them high above your heads. So should we start with that one? Well, it's good. So they're not going to be able to do this for long. Quick, Luke and Munya. Okay, these images, can you see them? Can everybody see those? Have become a big part of Carroty Wood over the last few years. This is the cold heart that's turned away from God. This is the lukewarm heart that's kind of indifferent in the middle. And then this is a heart set on fire by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to just quickly look at this. And in the middle of this message, whoa, look at that on the screen. Wow. In the middle of this message, we've got a little movie clip. It's about 4 minutes long, which we're going to show you. So fantastic. Guys, you want to sit down? Thank you so much. Brilliant. So, over the last few months, I think I've said this before, we've brought these messages to the children, and I've been so convicted and so challenged myself that at the end, when I've said, would the children like to respond, I've had to stand there too. And exactly the same thing happened at Carroty Wood, because everything that we're mentioning this morning applies 100% to me, and I'm desperately wanting my own heart to change. So, on the Friday night at the camp, we looked at the three hearts. So David Abbott got us all to turn round. We all had to sort of shuffle round. And he presented us with these hearts. So the cold heart, the lukewarm heart, and the burning heart. And then he said to us all, everybody is somewhere on here. Everybody. In actual fact, everybody in the whole world is somewhere on here. Their heart is either not interested in God, don't know if he's there, or they're somewhere in the middle, kind of he's there a bit. Or their hearts are set on fire. And he asked us, where do you think you are? So we're all looking at this heart thinking, whoa, I'm not sure. One thing's for sure, I know I'm not that. I'm not this burning heart. So what we realized for some of us was that we were a mix. The parts of our heart were perhaps cold and turned away. Parts of our heart were kind of lukewarm in the middle. And parts of our heart were perhaps a little bit set on fire. Evan Roberts famously said, I have reached out and touched the flame. I am burning. He said that just before the Holy Spirit was poured out in 1904. How brilliant to be able to say that. So we looked at four people on the camp who met Jesus and went from the cold and lukewarm hearts to the burning heart. There were four different people in the Bible. And then on the Saturday night, we did something a bit different. We looked at a woman who lived in the 20th century, not in the first century. Now, my brother's here today, and he speaks Dutch and can pronounce this properly, because I'm probably going to say her name wrong, but she's called Corrie ten Boom. That's what we would call her. And some of you will have heard of her, and we told this story, and we've been looking at this story in flame over several weeks. The kids now really know this story. She was a woman. She died in 1983. She was born in Holland and lived in Holland in a town, I think it's a town called Haarlem, in Holland. And there's a picture of her family. Okay, so here she is with her sister on the end. You see there, as young women. They grew up in Haarlem, in Holland, in this little flat above a jeweler's. Now, do you know you can still go there and see that house? And when I was younger, my parents took us and we went and saw this house. They lived in just this flat above it. They were an unremarkable family, except for one thing. They had Jesus at the center of their lives. They were a fervent, devout Christian family. And their world was kind of turned upside down in 1940, when enemy forces came into Holland. They decided they wanted to do something to help the people who were being persecuted, which was particularly the Jewish people. So in one of the bedrooms, and the kids have seen this, and actually we decided in our flame room that there's a cupboard in the flame room, and Sinan or somebody pointed out to us that it's a similar size to this. They built a false wall. And the people, you can see they've cut a hole in the wall. But actually, the people, when they went into the cupboard, they went, do you see in the bottom, underneath the shelves? They would crawl in, and then they would stand there. And if there were raids, and they were checking for whether people were hidden, that's where they would go and hide. And for nearly 4 years, they did this from their little apartment, risking their lives. Jewish people were hidden there, and then they were smuggled out. And do you know, they helped 800 people. 800 were rescued just through that one house alone. And then something happened. They were betrayed. And in May 1944, They raided the house. Incredibly, they never found the six who were hiding in the cupboard. Those six stayed there for 2 days. And at the end of that, because they weren't looking at the house anymore, they were able to smuggle them out and they all survived. How amazing. But the families and everyone connected with what they were doing, and there was a lot of people, I think at least 18, were taken to different camps and different places, including Corrie ten Boom and her sister. And they ended up here. This is a sketch of the Ravensbrück prison camp near Berlin. And having done everything right and served God, this is where they ended up. And Corrie ten Boom, the younger sister, said that her heart became filled with anger and also with hate. She couldn't believe that God would have allowed them to be in this terrible place. Her heart, she said, grew cold like that cold heart. And she turned away from God inside. But she had this wonderful older sister. I think we've got a picture of her. There she is, Betsy, who said, no, I'm not going to turn away. I'm here, but I'm not going to turn away. And she began to reach out to God in her heart. She invited Jesus to come and be with them. And she found this verse in the Bible, because incredibly, they had a tiny Bible that they were able to read from. In a moment, we're going to show you the clip in the middle of this little film, which is about this. And she read this verse. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you'd think, okay, great verse, not a verse for the prison camp. It doesn't, it would work most places, but that can't possibly apply in these circumstances. She said, yes, it does. She says, I want to try and do this. And she began to persuade Corrie ten Boom, whose heart had so turned away, to do the same. We're going to show this little clip now. It's about 4 minutes long. Phil's very cleverly kind of edited it. It's the two sisters talking to each other, and Betsy ten Boom saying, come on, Corrie, we're going to start to find something to thank God for. And incredibly, what happened in the end was God greatly used them. If we could just go back to the picture of them in the camp, you'll see there that in the middle she's got a little Bible and all the people are crowding round, and they're coming to hear what was being said. I'll read out a quote in a moment about that. But they had prayer meetings and they had Bible studies in the camp. How brilliant is that, in this dormitory? And look how eagerly the people are listening, because they were desperate to hear about this light in the darkness. So we're just going to show the little clip now. It lasts about 4 minutes. I don't know if you...
Oh, at last. What is this?
It can't be. Oh, no, Betsy. Fleas. This is the only place where we can rest, and it's infested with fleas. What are we going to do?
Well, we shall thank God.
What? But...
Corrie, do you recall the verse we read in your little Bible this morning?
I...
Read it, please.
Now?
Please.
Oh, all right. Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always to do good to one another and to all. I can hardly concentrate.
Here, let me. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God through Christ Jesus. You see, Corrie, God is telling us what to do. To thank Him for all things.
Everything? This?
The Word of God says all things. Come now, let's pray. Lord, we thank You first of all that we are together. Your turn.
Well, I thank You that Father doesn't have to experience this.
And that we have a place to lay our heads. We thank You for the hay, the warmth of so many people, which drives away the cold, and...
And?
Corrie?
All right, the fleas. We thank You for the fleas, these itchy, irritating, horrible fleas.
Yes, Lord. We trust that You can use even these fleas for our good. We are so sure. Amen. There, don't you feel better? have so much to be thankful for. So very much. Blessed are you when people persecute you for my sake. Great is your reward in heaven.
You'd better hide that. The guards are coming.
I'm not sure why, but this is the only barracks they don't come into. Let's end with a prayer. Father in heaven, continue to watch over us. We trust ourselves, those we love, and those that despise us to your loving care. Amen.
Amen.
What is it, Corey?
This afternoon, that guard.
Yes, I know. The poor man must be suffering so.
Suffering? Betsy, how can you say that? We've lost our father, our home. We hardly have anything to eat, to cover ourselves with. How could he possibly be suffering?
Because in the midst of our loss, we have Jesus. And we know he has a plan. I doubt a guard can say the same thing about his leader, Hitler. And when Hitler falls, so many of his followers will be so lost. God has us just where he wants us, where his love is needed the most. Oh, Corey, God has a perfect plan, a wonderful plan to redeem all of this. I just know it.
Can't cough. It's getting worse.
It's very moving. Very, very moving clip. Should we just go on to the next bit? We watched the film with the children, and the end of the story is so inspiring because Betsy died in that camp, went to be with Jesus, a radiant Christian, many people praying in that dormitory together, many people hearing about Jesus for the first time. How amazing. Because they turned towards him. And I thought really that Corrie ten Boom, you know, could have come out with a heart like that. Probably many people came out from desperate situations and still today do with a heart like that, angry with God, angry with people, bitter. But she came out, amazingly was released. They never knew why. She was released at the end of December in 1944, and she came out with a heart on fire. And it became more on fire. I think there's another picture of her. There she is. Until she was an old lady, she traveled across the world talking and preaching about forgiveness, about love, about giving thanks, about finding God in the hardest of places, because she let him come and do something in her heart, and she could so easily have chosen a different path. And you know, I think she would, if she'd chosen another path, she could have just died in obscurity later on in Holland, maybe never heard of, but she made that incredible, simple decision to turn towards Jesus. So is another picture, I think. Yes, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, in the day of trial, don't harden your heart. Possibly the greatest cause of hardness of heart in our lives, I know this has been true for me, comes as a result of how we have reacted and how we continue to react to our trials. If we want, and Munya was praying about this and the others, if we want our hearts to catch on fire, I've concluded we're going to have to make some of the choices that Betsy and Corrie ten Boom made, and we're going to have to make those choices in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. I always think there's two different types of trials. The first one is this, the critical, desperate crisis when something terrible suddenly happens. You know, somebody's suddenly in hospital, something dramatic happens, the crisis. But perhaps even harder than that is the second one, in the chronic, long-term, seemingly insoluble, endlessly difficult situations of our lives. And all of us face these trials. Everybody, if you go round, there's something going on. It could be sickness, it could be your finances, it could be a desperate relationship. But in this, if those women could turn to him, then surely we could. So the next bit says, the choices they made were so simple, but they're so hard to do. And these are the choices they made, and then we're going to finish in a moment. Firstly, they gave thanks. They gave thanks even when it seemed there was nothing to give thanks for. But did you notice that when they lay in the bunk, they began to realize they could thank him? First thing they thanked him for, I think, was, well, one of the things was that they were together. They randomly found each other on the train. Well, how brilliant that they were together. So they gave thanks for that. They could have been alone. Secondly, they gave thanks that their father hadn't had to go through this. He was taken to a hospital. He did die there, but he didn't have to go through that camp. They said thank you because, do you know, it was snowing outside, but they were warm in the dormitory because it was so overcrowded. They found things to be thankful for. And for me, this has become a huge thing. One of the big turning points in my own life was when Amy was very, very sick, our daughter, and I sat on her bed and I realized that God was asking me to give thanks. And we began to give thanks for morphine, and we gave thanks for incredible antibiotics, and we gave thanks for stunning NHS staff who were caring for her. And we suddenly realized we got all this stuff that actually we could give thanks for and that he didn't expect us to complain. Amazing. And something began to happen in my heart at that time. We are nearly at the end. The second thing was to forgive. They forgave. And she had to go on doing this, and many of you will know the story of how she met the guard after the war, and she had to forgive him, and she put out her hand. The kids in Flame have been learning about this, and she put out her hand and she prayed, Jesus, help me. And as she prayed it, love poured into her heart, and she flung her arms around the guard, and they were reconciled. So fantastic. They turned towards God in the trial and not away from him. So easy to turn away when everything goes wrong and to think, no, I'll sort this out myself. God is clearly not going to help me. And then they invited Jesus, Emmanuel, to come into every situation. This has become a huge thing for us, for Nick and I. We are learning to really do this. We're trying to do this constantly. We were in a van on Friday in darkest Balham in a white van. Nick was white van man, slightly dangerous. He just was very disobedient and wouldn't drive the way I wanted him to. But anyway, he was in the white van, and then we get a call from our son who's in Lisbon, who's got a new flat, and he's saying, I can't get the key in the door. I can't get the key in the door, Mum. There's a great big key, and I can't get the key in the door. And in the end, he's holding the phone by the thing, and we can hear the thing sort of clanking. And we're saying, we can't do much. We're in a van in Balham, you know, and you're in Lisbon. And he's like, I don't have anyone else. What am I going to do? You know, shall I film myself trying to open it? Not sure that's going to help either. And then we had the thought that we're starting to have more and more. We could pray about this. And we just briefly for a second prayed, could you help us? And within a minute, I could hear the thing clanking. I'm in. But we could have just turned away. We didn't have to pray. And he doesn't always answer like that. But we're finding more and more that he does answer when we pray like that, right in the middle of the crisis. Finally, they reached out to others. They didn't just think about themselves. What an incredible thing when she says to Corrie ten Boom, but we have Jesus, she says to Betsy says. And they began to be a light in the darkness. And there's a fantastic little bit where she says this. Corrie ten Boom said, we began to gather like waifs clustered around a blazing fire. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the word of God. That's was talking about when they were in Ravensbrook. Back to the final heart. That's what we were praying for. That's what a lot of Charity Wood was about. Matteo prayed my favorite prayer. A lot of the kids talked about the prayer meetings. So many children prayed in those prayer meetings. So wonderful. We got there slightly late, and I said to Nick, no one's up. He said, they are. He said, they're in there. And they were sitting around waiting to pray. And Matteo prayed my favorite prayer. He said, Lord, set my heart on fire. It was a fantastic prayer. And we were saying, yes, what Matteo's just prayed, we want to pray. But it's going to require us doing some of these things so that we're in a place where this fire can come. So we're going to end there. And we're going to sing, finally, the song that David sang, This One I Surrender. Big thing to say to God. Big thing to say. We can't say that glibly, I surrender. If an army surrendered, it's a big thing. If an army says, right, we're surrendering, no more fighting, then you're just putting yourself completely in the hands of the other people. It's a big thing. So maybe we could... in a moment stand and we could really pray this as a prayer. It's inviting the Holy Spirit, Jesus, come and breathe in my heart. Come and do something in my heart. And maybe as we do it, I don't know if the teenagers and the children might be up for just walking around and just perhaps laying hands on people in little groups. I don't know if the teenagers, yeah, Luke's laying hands on his mum. That's a good thing. And just pray, Lord, you know, would you touch the people around me? So it'd be fantastic if a Blaze and Tribe felt they could do that. Maybe if you'd like someone to do that just for a moment or two, and because we're singing, you may not even be able to hear what they're praying. If you'd like that, put your hand up so that they'll just come to you and just lay their hands on you and just say, Lord, help all of us. Help all of us. On the Friday night, we all stood. So there was no one to pray for anybody. So we all just had to pray for each other. So that's what it would be great if we could do. So let's stand. And David will lead this. And then maybe the teenagers and some of the older guys, Andrew and some of the others might go round. Baraka, Peter, Cludy, Jonathan and these guys, John and Joel, Kalechi. Just go round. If people put up the hand and say yes, just briefly pray for me. Say yes. I want some of this in my heart. Then put up your hand and they'll come and pray for you. Brilliant.
You know what I mean? It's Carroty Wood Sunday. My wife will explain.
Yeah, just to say hi to everybody. And I think we've got quite a few visitors and people here today. So just to explain, it's a little bit different today, this Sunday in our church, because last weekend, a whole crowd of us, a lot of children and teenagers, went away on a camping weekend. And this morning they're going to be sharing a bit of that. We're going to share some of what was talked about, what was sung and done on the camp. So it's a slightly different Sunday. I just wonder, is Peter, or Peter's here? Peter's drinking his coffee. Peter's just going to come up and pray, and then we're going to start. We've actually had to have a bit of a slow start because there's a lot of children who aren't here yet, including one of the people's leading the main bit, okay? So we're hoping she's going to come rushing in a minute. So there we go. Brilliant. Let's pray.
Well, I thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Thank you that all able to come together as a community to worship you, to praise you, Lord. Pray today, as today we reflect on last weekend. I just thank you for the opportunity to be put in a place where you can really use me. I just thank you that all the experience I had when I was those ages, I saw them replicated. I pray that you can continue to do this over the years and bring more children towards you, Lord. I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the friendliness. I thank you for the family unit that we have. And I thank you for the kind of environment that we create that makes the children feel so happy and welcome and open to explore you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you. Amen.
Fantastic. Okay, just before we sing, Andrew's going to come up. And he did this at very short notice. And we're just going to look at the memory verse. And see if anybody can actually remember the memory verse, because it actually was quite long. I see a hand already. I see a hand.
All right, so who came to Carroty Wood? Who didn't sleep at all? It's a few of us. All right, who can remember the memory verse still? Can I come up? Edward? Who else? Beth? James? Who else remembered it? Must be more people. No one else? Yeah, John. Who else do you think knows it? Yeah, there's 3 points in this for next year. Who else knows it? Joe, do you know it? You sure?
Oh my days.
Are you right doing it by yourself?
Yeah.
With Shag.
Aww.
Can you? He knows it. Whoa. How many points do you want for this?
20.
20 points, apparently. All right. Are you right? No. Edward's in my tent next year, apparently, and it's 20 points. Oh, another one. Are you guys all right saying it? All right,
John. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. John 3:14-16.
Still in the been reading it?
Do you want to start?
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so that the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. So God so loved the world that he gave his only Son,
so that
everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. John 3:14-6.
There you go, 20 points each. Am I doing anything else?
I just can't believe that they were bargaining for points. It's outrageous. Jonathan Chiuelli apparently turned up very early for the coach on the Friday, and we got a text message saying he wants points for coming an hour early to the coach. Can I just announce that Peter and Baraka won the tent competition?
Whoa.
Who were they? They were the winking faces or something, and apparently they'd never won before, and the celebration was unbelievable. It was like the World Cup goal celebrations. They just ran, and they threw their hats into the tree, apparently, and had to go back and get them because they were so thrilled that they'd finally won. David, yeah?
Okay, so let's stand to our feet. So this morning we're going to focus our eyes on the cross, on what Jesus has done for us. So we go to I Cast My Mind.
Fantastic. I'm very glad that Abigail has come. We're very relieved. We're going to do a song that we sang at Carity Wood by a guy called Hezekiah Walker, good name, and it's called Every Praise is to Our God. And Lily on the camp taught us some fantastic actions. Now, we don't have Lily here this morning, so we're relying on Abigail's memory, okay? And it's got lots of actions. You don't have to join in. You're welcome to join in, but please don't feel you have to. But in the middle bit, we do a bit which Lily called a round robin, okay, where we all go round, okay. Now, again, you don't have to do that. So I think it would cause chaos if we all go round. So the plan is to get everybody who went to Carity Wood, adults as well, to come up here in a moment and to stand and look to the front so that you can follow Abigail. We're going to put the great big video up on there. And if Abigail forgets, we'll just follow Hezekiah Walker, okay, because she's starting to look slightly worried. So if she just can't remember anything, we'll just follow him because he kind of dances. And then in the middle, do you remember the bit where we start to go round? Okay, she's going to shout round robin or something like that, or let's go round. And the Carity Wood people are going to go up there and round and back down again, okay? We're just going to try this, all right? It's a fantastic song basically saying that God, our great God, is worthy of all praise. It's sung on a roundabout somewhere in Brooklyn, possibly, and it'll come up on the screen. So we need everyone who went to Carity Wood, and that's everyone, to come up to the front here and stand across the front, all right? But looking this way, and then we need Abigail to stand on there. Is that right? That's a very good point. So front of the round robin. Baraka, do you fancy going at the front of the round robin when we go round? So we're going to follow Baraka, okay? He's also looking a bit nervous, but there we go. We can't have Peter doing everything. Should we turn down the lights so you could see? Maybe we turn off the bright lights. I think that might be quite good. Okay, brilliant. Let's give it a go. Oh, we can't really see. Oh, no, we can see Abigail. It's fine, it's fine. Let's go for it. It would be brilliant if some of the children who just did that could come up to the front, and the teenagers. Munya's really keen to come up. All of the kids come up. Peter's just going to, he's just going to come up. Anyone who was there, and the teenagers, could you guys just all come up? Brilliant. Not the adults. Sorry about this. And Peter's just going to go along the row and just get you to say your favourite thing about the camp. One thing. It could be one word. It could be about the meetings. It could be about the stuff we did. Just have a think about your favourite thing. And Peter's going to come along and sort of try and interview you. And then we need a blaze to stay up.
Right. I'll start and then you get what I'm talking about. Try to say two things. Try to say, like, one of the activities and then something about the meetings. So for the meetings, just seeing, like, the same experience I felt, but you guys having it, that was good. And then, like, activities, I don't know, just I'd say the sports hall, that was decent. Yeah.
I would say really everything, really, but in particular, I would say the prayer meetings, because when Nick and David and all the others prayed, I really felt God coming into my heart.
For me, just all of the meeting, really, like David Adbert preaching and all of that. And then for an activity, probably swimming was good. Yeah.
Everything.
The prayer meetings in the morning, because it helped me keep my heart set on fire, and swimming.
The morning meeting as well, and the night walk.
Everything.
Personally, I would say the swimming and the meetings in the morning were good, because I really felt my heart moving to another stage from the lukewarm and stony heart. Has anyone felt that before?
I like the songs in the songs in the meeting and the sports hall.
I like the tuck shop.
The prayer meetings in the tuck shop.
When people prayed for me and swimming.
I like the prayer meetings in the morning and Foursquare.
I like the prayer meetings and when we had the food, because I like the spaghetti.
Yeah, I like praying for people during the prayer meetings, and I like swimming.
I liked how all the children were involved, even the younger ones, and how they really focused on God during the meetings.
Brilliant. What we might do is just ask you guys to really pray that God would touch our hearts this morning. You don't need to pray. You can just pass the mic along if you don't want to pray. Just stay up here and we'll pass along and just pray a brief prayer. Anyone that wants to would just go along. Just pass it along if you don't want to. And we're just going to pray and ask that God would touch our hearts, like Munya said. Have we felt that before? We need to feel this more. So we're going to pass along. Let's close our eyes while we pray.
Lord, firstly, I thank you for last weekend. I pray that we can build on wherever we are now. So if we're at that burning heart, I pray that you can give us more fuel for that fire. I pray that you can keep it burning for as long as possible. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful weekend we had at Carity Wood. Lord, I thank you that we were able to really feel you, touch our hearts, Lord. Lord, can you just help us now and forever? Can you just spill the Holy Spirit into our hearts? And can our hearts be like the burning heart? And can we be able to let you into our heart? Amen.
Thank you so much, Lord, for Carity Wood. Thank you that the Holy Spirit definitely came into some of our hearts, Lord. I pray that we'll be able to pass it on to everyone in the room today, and that we'll really feel the Holy Spirit here today. Amen.
Lord, thank you for the relationship we have with you, Lord. I just pray that we keep on building on it and learn more about you, Lord. Amen.
Lord, would you just help the Holy Spirit to find our hearts, Lord, that we can build upon the heart we were on last week, Lord. And would you just help everyone in here to find you, Lord. Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for everyone that went to Carity Wood, and I thank you that you would make our hearts on fire and make us move to another level instead of staying on the same level. I thank you for the camp, for moving my heart and many other people's hearts. I pray that you'll give us enough love and opportunities for us to catch and for us to use as long as we stay in this world. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Lord, thank you for the fun we had at Carity Wood. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be on fire. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the camp last week, and I just thank you, Lord, that you were able to use us, and I pray that you would just help us have more space in our hearts for you, and that you can come in and change our lives. Amen.
Thank you that you've been looking after us since we were first born, and thank you that you've just given us a burning heart, and people who still haven't reached that level yet, that we'll go with our burning heart and we'll make it spread. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, Lord, I thank you for such an amazing camp like Charity Ward, Lord, where we were really able to express our feelings toward you. I thank you for everyone that's here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that everyone will really understand what is preached, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will really come to our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray.
Dear Lord, I ask you to keep these hearts burning, Lord, and bring this Holy Spirit to spread these burning hearts to everyone in the meeting today. Amen. Amen.
Guys, thank you so much. Well done for bravely coming up the front. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, we're going to do one more song and then we're going to do the offering. It's a song we sang on the camp. It's a song with actions again. Oh, Peter, we may need you back. We may need you back for the actions. It's got actions in the chorus. You don't have to do them. We've shortened it a little bit. It's this amazing song that's based on this ancient creed. It's hundreds and hundreds of years old, the words that we're singing. Amazing song. So let's stand. It says, I believe in God the Father. Peter, can you remember them? It's just in the chorus.
Can I have flame up, please? Yeah, Munya, all those people. Edward, wherever you are.
Rainy. Fantastic. I wonder if you grab a seat, please. Big welcome this morning. If you're visiting, if you're new, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Today's special celebration of the teenagers and children, the camp last week, the Charity Wood Camp. Special time today. After we've finished our time here this morning, please stay for lunch. We're going to have lunch together here. We've got some food at the back, outside there. And so please stay around at the end and enjoy some fellowship, enjoy some food together. The people who are preschool, so if you're preschool, then now's a good time. Yes, just hang on. Okay, before you make a move.
Just very quickly, in 2 weeks' time, just to remind everyone, including Sunbeams, that in 2 weeks' time we've got a special trip to the fields. So we're all going to go down to the field, and it's going to be prize-giving, is that right? And it's going to be prize-giving that week, so you don't want to miss it. It's in 2 weeks' time, okay? And also just quickly to say, we managed to lose David Abbott's lovely thank you card. And what he told me is that for all the years he's been coming to Charity Wood, he's kept every card. And he looked somewhat sad when I said, oh, we've lost it. So we got him a new card. And could everybody who went on the camp, we're going to put it at the information point, which is over there, and we'll leave it there. And if everybody and parents and people could write in it, it would mean a huge amount to him. He's out in Bolivia now on his next missionary trip. So that would just be brilliant. Thank you.
Fantastic. It's great that God's called us as a church, not just to be thinking about ourselves and what's happening here in London. God's given us a very special mission and purpose here. And if you're part of this church, God's called us to be here in London doing what he wants us to in reaching and wanting to make an impact here in North London. But we're part of a wider church and we celebrate that and we enjoy that. And it's a very important part of what we are and all those kind of things we do. And so from time to time, people in the church go out and do different missions and serving in this country and abroad. And Andrew Green's excitingly off to spend the time doing some work in another country. So put your hands together. Let's welcome Andrew Green. Now, Andrew is an engineer. And he's just finished his engineering degree, and he's going to do something with it. Tell us where you're going, what you're going to do, what's the plan, Andrew?
Hi again. So I'm sure as many of you know, I've just finished my civil engineering degree, and I've decided to see if any of it was useful. So I'm going to Uganda. So I've been asked to share a bit about what I'm doing this summer. So I'm going to Uganda for 3 months to do an engineering placement there to work as a water sanitation engineer. So I've never done anything like this before, so I feel like I need a lot of prayer. I guess prayer that I can work well, that I can sleep more than I did at Charity Wood there. Prayer that I can enjoy the food. And interestingly, the church I'm going to there is also called New Life. So pray it's maybe nearly as good as this one. So yeah, I'm heading off on Tuesday for 3 months, so it's quite a long time, but I think I'm really looking forward to it. So I appreciate a lot of prayer.
Fantastic. Let's pray. Let's stretch out our hands and let's ask that God would strengthen, God would bless, God would help Andrew and use him and protect him as he goes to serve God in Uganda. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you send us to serve you in different times and different places. Thank you that we are your church here across this earth. And thank you that he goes from one new life to another. And we pray, Lord, that you would go with him. Lord, we ask for protection. Lord, that you keep him safe. We pray, Lord, he won't have any accidents. We pray he won't have any sickness. We pray, Lord, that you would keep him. Keep him in your wonderful protection. We ask, Lord, that you'd empower him by your Spirit to be useful. We pray for the practical work that he's going to do with wells and sanitation and the engineering skills that he's got. We pray, Lord, would you use those skills? Would you develop them? And we pray, Lord, spiritually, would he be a great encouragement? Also, would he grow spiritually? We pray you'd feed him, and as he gives out, you give back to him. And we want to surround him, Lord, in this time with our prayers, praying, Lord, for a fruitful time, praying, Lord, for an effective time, praying, Lord, that you would take him and use him for your kingdom and your service. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Give him a warm round. So just to ask to keep him in your prayers, Andrew Green, your prayers over the next 3 months, as he's not here, as he's sweating it out. It's hot enough here, but I guess it's a little tad hotter in Uganda. So as he goes. Now, today's ECOS. Nick, come and tell us a little bit about the ECOS happening today.
Yes, for those of you who don't know what ECOS is, it's English Conversation on Sunday. And it's where we invite people who don't have English as their first language to come and just enjoy conversation with us. And when we have a church lunch like today, then they just come in for the lunch. And actually, it's the best thing in ECOS, where they just in a way experience church just by being with God's people. And they love the conversations. They hang around for ages afterwards. I just want to read one verse I've read in Malachi this morning. It says, "Great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel." And God wants us to reach out, doesn't he, Fred, to people of other nations. It's a great privilege in London to be able to do that as people come to our city. One thing just to say is, could everybody be hospitable? I'm sure you will be, involve others in your conversation. But also, it would be nice if there was maybe 4 or 5 people who could just join me at the end of the meeting outside. So as the ECOS people come, we greet them, we register them, and then we find them someone to talk to, and then help them with the food, and then find some table for them to sit at. So I'd really appreciate that if I could have a few people at the table afterwards.
Fantastic. So if you're preschool, parents with preschool children, if you haven't already made a move, now's the time to make a move. For part two, just about to start. Joe.
Brilliant. Okay, I think the preschool has made a run for it. We're just going to do a little short message bit, because normally we would take the kids out, but we're not going to do that today, and these are going to fall off in a second. Can you find somewhere where you can kind of see, if you're a teenager or a child?